In addition to the mitzvahs that the Torah gives us, we have a lot of ikori ha'emuna. One of the most fundamental ikori ha'emuna is that we believe in b'chira chavshis. The parasha begins with this idea. The Rambam writes up the concept of b'chira chavshis in Hilchas Tshuva. Because we have b'chira chavshis, that's how we are able to do tshuva. But it really, b'chira chavshis is the ABC of all the mitzvahs. If there's no b'chira chavshis, most of the psychologists don't believe in b'chira chavshis. I remember many years ago reading a book review in the New York Times in the Sunday magazine. So the author of this, they were reviewing a book on psychology, so the author of the book had a lot of kashas. And the simple teretz is there's such a thing as b'chira chavshis, that lo bo b'cheshbon. So the one who reviewed the book says, maybe there is b'chira chavshis, maybe that's a teretz to all the kashas. No. You have to be careful. If you take psychology, you have to realize that everything they teach is all apikursis. That's the ABC of our religion. We believe in b'chira chavshis. Man is responsible for his mitzvahs and for his averis. He does have b'chira chavshis. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, it's up to us. We have to choose. We choose the right way, we'll be rewarded. We choose the wrong way, we'll be punished. The Rambam in Hilchas Tshuva, when he writes up b'chira chavshis, doesn't call it b'chira. He writes Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. Why does he call it Rishus? You don't have. It doesn't mean there are some kooky rabbis who misunderstood the Rambam. Most rabbis don't even look at Rambam. So a rabbi who learned here in our yeshiva by Rabbi Soloveitchik, who always used to look at the Rambam, said, this rabbi thought, the Rambam says you have permission to choose to do averus. Rishus l'chol adam nesuna. Doesn't mean you have permission. It means you have b'chira chavshis. Why doesn't he call it b'chira? So Rav Soloveitchik suggested that b'chira in Eretz Yisrael, they call the elections the b'chirot. That they give you a whole bunch of candidates and you can vote for A, B, C, D. But there's such a thing as a write-in also. Even this, in b'chira, a person has the ability to choose a mahalach that it wasn't even presented to him. Like the parents give you the choice which university they want to go to, A, B, or C. He says, none of the above. He wants to go to yeshiva. Doesn't want to go to university. But the parents want him to go to yeshiva. They say, which yeshiva you give you a choice? Doesn't want to go to yeshiva. He wants to go to Goyesha University. So that's, the chira means you have the ability to choose from among the options that are presented to you. The Rambam wanted to emphasize, a person can choose a choice that wasn't even presented to him. The Gamre not presented. That's, the Chumash says in the beginning of Bereshis that Hashem created man b'tzelem elokim. What exactly does that mean? So we do not think that God has a body and that he has a nose and he has eyes and ears and a mouth. So what does it mean, tzelem elokim? It doesn't mean physical tzelem elokim. It means somehow something about man's thinking. So the Meshech Chachma quotes from Kabbalah Svarim and from the Sefer Beis Elokim. Beis Elokim is a book on Hashkofa that was written by the Mabit. The Mabit was in the same time as the Beis Yosef. He lived in Tzfat at the same time. They had a lot of, 99% of everything they said the same. That's how they functioned together in the Bezin and Tzfat. And 1% of the issues that they disagreed about Shemitah and a couple of other things here and there, that became very famous. Mabit disagreed. So he asked Tshuva some Mabit. And the Kesef Mishnah always alludes to him. He says, there's somebody who said Pshat, and that's not Pshat. He's disagreeing with the Mabit every so often in the Kesef Mishnah. So the Mabit wrote a sefer that's called Beis Elokim. It's very easy reading and easy Hebrew. So he writes, and the Meshech Chachma quotes, and then he says, all the Mekubalim said the same Pshat, that Tzelem Elokim means B'chira Chavshis. That God wasn't, there's nothing forcing God into creating the world. He chose out of his pure rutzen, his desire to create the world. He wasn't missing anything, wasn't lacking anything. We don't understand what it means. God had a desire to create the world. So this is, man was created, but Tzelem Elokim, we also have b'chira chavshis. There are different considerations that we have in mind when we make a decision. But the decision is, we're not forced into making that decision. We do not believe, like the psychologists believe, that every person is born with a system in his head, and all decisions are already made. What type of a girl is going to marry, what he's going to do for a living, what kind of a city he's going to live in, All the decisions are already there in the computer, and he just plays it out. So if there's no b'chira choshes, so life is meaningless. So he's just a puppet. We believe in b'chira choshes. That's an ikar and emunah. The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva quotes the opinion of there's a dispute among the Tanoim. So the Rambam writes, the accepted opinion is En Yisrael Negola Mele B'Tshuva. The Jewish people will only have the Geula Hasida, provided that we do Tshuva. So this poses a problem. We have Bechira Choshes, so we can decide never to do Tshuva. So it's possible that there'll never be a Geula Hasida. So the Rambam says, no, Kva Hevticha Torah. Torah promises us later, Chum is Rambam. Ultimately, the Jewish people will do tshuva. Mele, there will be a geula hasida. How can the Torah promise it's going to be sof mishal yisrael lasas tshuva? If there's such a thing as b'chira chofshes, we can decide never to do tshuva. This is stira, kasha. Rav Soloveitchik used to say, let's say a person stands on his head. How long can you stand on your head? You have the ability to stand. You can't stand on your head forever. You're going to collapse. You're going to fall down. It's unnatural. So when the Jewish people do Averis, it's unnatural. When any human being does Averis, it's unnatural. But B'nei Yisrael, Abonim Lamokim, the Torah tells us. Abonim Lamokim means that we have a deeper degree of Tzel Malakim. Chavi Abonim Shenivra B'Tzelim Chavi Minisol Shenikru Abonim Lamokim. All of men have Tzel Malakim. They all have Midas of Elokus implanted within them when they're born. And the Jewish people have an extra dose of that. That's what it means, banim lamakam. So, yeah, we can do Averis, but it's unnatural for us, unnatural even for a guy to do Averis, because we're well created with Tzel Malkim. So how long does a person stand on his head and do something stupid? Ultimately, you're going to have to return back to become your own self. You're not going to keep on putting on an act forever and ever. So that's what it means. So from the Sarisola, so true, ultimately the Jewish people will do true. The Torah tells us that these brachas aklolas are supposed to be recited when we come to Eretz Yisrael. We'll locate Hagrizim Harevo, and the brachas and aklolas will be recited at that time. This was once in the history of the world. There was brachas aklolas were proclaimed at Hagrizim and Harevo. And the Chumash Le'Imam will list off all the Yud Aleph brachas, the Yud Aleph Arurim, the brachas aklolas. The Baha counts brachas aklolas Hagrizim Harevo as one of the Taryag mitzvahs. So it's a pella, it's a hira, sure. Pashto says you only count a mitzvah that's nohegas l'doros. Rashi writes in the beginning of Parshas Tzav, he quotes from the Tanoim, from the Sifra, Ein Lashem Tzav L'Loshem Zeruz Miyaga L'doros. By definition, the word mitzvah means something that's nohegas l'doros. So how can the Baha count the brachas aklolas or Hagriz Maharevo as one of the Taryag mitzvahs that was once in the history of the world? So I think the commentaries explain it doesn't mean the actual recitation of the brachas aklolas. It means what came about as a result of the brachas aklolas. The Gemara has a comment in Sanhedrin on the pasuk that appears later. Hanistaros Hashem Alkenim Hanigloz Lo Nolvaneinu Ado Elam Las Kolti V'Atorah Zayis. So it says V'Hanigloz. If another person is doing an avera, we have to try to get him to stop. Lo Nolvaneinu Adom La'asos. La'asos means isui. To force people to, if it's possible, to encourage the person or to force the person not to do the avera. That's the principle of klolis ol arevim zebezah. So this concept, so there are 11 nekudas on the letters. So the Gemara says the nekudas on the letters represents the idea that this din of klolis ol arevim zebezah didn't apply until they crossed over the Yarden and they were mekabel the brachas aklolas hagriz maharevim. That was the effect of the brachas aklolas. So that's probably what the Bahag means to say, that the principle of kol yisrael arevim zebezah is one of the taryag mitzvah. It does mean the actual maimed, the actual mitzvah of reciting the brachas aklolas means the result that came about from the hagriz maharevim. That is a mitzvah that there is a kol yisrael arevim zebezah. This din of arevus doesn't only mean that we are responsible for each other. It means much more than that. The Gemara has a din yotza moitzi. Let's say the father's away for business on Shabbos and the mother wants her little boy to say Kiddush. So the little boy is not bar mitzvah yet. The mother obviously is a bas mitzvah. So the little boy can't be mitzi the mother. The mother is mechuyvin kiddush matar. The child is only mechuyvin kiddush mit the rabbanon. And the Mishnah says in Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak, Mishenim b'chuy b'dover and emotzi aserabim v'deichay vasim. You can only be mitzi somebody else if you're mechuyvin b'dover. If you're not mechuyvin b'dover, you can't be mitzi. So what if we're all mechuyvin kiddush, but I already said kiddush, and somebody comes late and he doesn't know how to say kiddush? Can I recite the kiddush a second time on his behalf? So the Gemara says yes. Afal pisha yotza mitzi. Even though I was yotze kiddush already, I'm permitted to recite kiddush the second time on behalf of the person who does not know how to say his own Kiddush. Why is that so? Rashi asks, why is that so? But the person already said Kiddush is no longer Mechuyi B'dover. So Rashi says, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh is a big Kiddush that it's considered I'm obligated to recite Kiddush, and even if I already said Kiddush, if there's one Jew left in New Zealand who didn't say Kiddush yet, it means I wasn't fully yotzei my mitzvah of Kiddush. It's my obligation to see to it that I say Kiddush and that every other Jew in the world says Kiddush as well. And as long as there's one person that didn't say Kiddush yet, if by my reciting Kiddush a second time, it'll help him. So I'm still considered mechuyi b'dover. That's a big Kiddush. That is a very big Kiddush. Yotzei mitzvah is based on Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. That's how Rashi writes. The Rishonim don't disagree with Rashi. They seem to agree with Rashi. Shagasari writes, he thinks that it's such a big Kiddush, he thinks that like it's a bit of a pshetl. He thinks maybe it only works on Dinim Derabbanan. He thinks on the first day Rosh Hashanah that Kir Shofar is their Isa, so the Baal Tekeh, who was Yotzi and Shul, can't go to the hospital to blow Shofar for the sick people. On the second day Rosh Hashanah, the Tekeh is only Derabbanan, so then you can say a pshetl. Like Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, I'm still Mechuyi B'dover. I think Gemara says one person already made Kiddush and then someone came late, didn't know how to say Kiddush, so he said Kiddush for him. So he says, Rashi says on that Gemara that it was Yontif and he said the Yontif did get Kiddush. How did Rashi have the Ruach HaKodesh to know that it was Yontif? Maybe it was Shabbos. Just because the story is there in Maseches Rosh Hashanah, the end of the third parak, it means it happened on Rosh Hashanah. No. Maybe it happened on a Shabbos. How does Rashi know? So the Shagasari says, because Rashi held that Yotza Motza only works on Dinam Derabot. Doesn't work on Dinam Deraisa. How does he get such a wild idea? Because there's a Machlokes, Rashi and Tosis and Brochas, where they say Yotza Motza Babichas Amozen. Can I recite benching for you if I'm not Mechuyev to bench? Maybe I should say Yotza Motza. Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh. If there's a person who didn't bench yet, I'm Mechuyev to recite benching for him. So Rashi avoids that. Rashi says that you don't say Yotza Moitzi by benching. Tosfos says you do. Rashi said you don't say. So the Rishonim explained Pshat and Rashi, you don't say Yotza Moitzi by benching. You only say Yotza Moitzi if it's a chiv that the person is absolutely mechiv. There's no way for him to get out of it. He's obligated to recite Kiddush. He's obligated to hit Kir Shofar. If he doesn't know how to do it, so even though I was Yotza Nimitz, so I can recite Kiddush a second time, I can blow shofar for a second time. But Birchas HaMazon, who told him to eat bread? If he wouldn't have eaten bread, he wouldn't have been mechuyev to bench. So there you don't say, Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh B'Zeh, I'm not mechuyev to help you out. Who told you to put yourself in a predicament? That's what the Shagasari thinks. That Rashi's opinion is that Yotza Moitzi doesn't work on Dinam Deraisa. So that's what motivated Rashi to say that the story of Yotza Moitzi by Kiddush, the last Gemara in the third parak in Rosh Hashanah, Rashi said he's talking about Kiddush on Yontav, and apparently Rashi thinks Kiddush on Yontav is only the Rabbanan. Kiddush on Shabbos, the Gemara says, is the Raisa. Kiddush on Yontav is a Machlokes. The Rambam writes Kiddush on Yontav is also the Raisa, because all the Yamim Tovim are referred to in Chumash as Shabbos Hashem. It's also Shabbos. It says by Sfira Soema, you count Sfira Mimachras on Shabbos. It does mean you begin counting Sfira on a Sunday. That's how the Tzedukim did, Bisman Baisheni. They always started counting Sfira on a Sunday. And it was 7 full weeks, Sunday through Shabbos. And then Shavuos was always an extended weekend. Shavuos was always on a Sunday. He said Moshe Rabbeinu made up the whole Torah. Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. They didn't believe that it was Torah Min HaShemayim. So he said Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people. So Pesach in Sukkot is a whole week long. Shavuos, Nebuchadnezzar, only one day. How can you take off in the middle of the week? Moshe Rabbeinu loved the Jewish people, so he made it an extended weekend. So he take off for Shabbos. Anyway, he take off Shabbos and Sunday. Shavuos always on a Sunday. And that's not our tradition. Our tradition has it that Mimachas HaShabbos means The first day Chol HaMoed Pesach, you start counting Svir. Means that the Amim Tavma referred to as Shabsos Hashem. That's what the Raman says. The Kiddush and Abdullah both deraisa, and everything applies to Yontav as well, because Yontav is also Shabbos. So the Shagasari has a tshuva. He thinks that Rashi disagrees. He thinks that Rashi must hold that Kiddush and Yontav is Rabbanon, and that's what motivated Rashi to say that story in the Gemara, that the fellow who came late didn't know how to say Kiddush, and I said Kiddush for him, even though I was Yotzei Red, he must have been Kiddush on Yontav, because Kiddush on Shabbos, you wouldn't say Yotzei Moitz. Lamai said, we don't follow that Shagasari. The first day Rosh Hashanah, the Tkiyas Adaraisa, and everybody knows about the care blows for the sick people in the hospital in the old age home. He was ready with Yotzei originally. We assume Yotzei Moitz works on the level of the Raisa, but it's a very big Kiddush that Kol Yisrael Arayim Mezeh B'Zeh means I'm still considered Mechuyah B'Dover. And when the other, I'm mechuyev to hear Kiyah Shefer. If I'm mechuyev to hear Shefer a second time, it's going to help somebody else. So I'm mechuyev to have to blow Shefer again, to hear it, in order that someone else should be Yotzi along with me, with Shemeh Kohenah. Abeneza has a tshuva. I'd say, I already heard Shefer. I'm going to blow Shefer for the people in the old age home in the hospital. So do I have to hear the Shefer the second time? Right? Just let's say I'll put something in my ears and I won't hear. I think he will hear, but let's say Hechatimtzi, he won't hear the shofar sounding. I already was Yotzei shofar. I don't have to hear the shofar. So what's wrong if I blow shofar a second time for the other people? They can hear me blow shofar. So he proves from the Gemara that it's not correct. The other fellow, when I blow the second time, the other people are Yotzei with the din of Shemei Kohena. I'm being Yotzei, I'm blowing shofar for myself, and they're listening along. Not that I'm only blowing shofar for them. I'm still considered mechuyev b'dover. He quotes of the famous Gemara and brachas like that. That you have to hear the tkiyas the second time. So this is what happened in Hagriz Maharevel. The mitzvah to have the brachas of Klolos recited was once in the history of the world. That here, the Bahag probably did not intend to count that as a mitzvah. It's not a mitzvah in the Hagas Lederes. We don't count the mitzvahs that were only Harashua. There was a Harashua in the Midbar in Mitzrayim. They knock on the next door neighbor's doors and ask for matonis. We don't do that today. That's not Noeg L'doris. That's why nobody counted as a mitzvah. Whatever was a Harashua, you don't count as a mitzvah. So why did the Bahag count brachas of Gloza, Hagriz Maharevel? The answer is, as a result of the brachas of Klola, is the Gemara says, the principle of Orvus, was Chal Kol Yisrael Arayim Mezeh B'Zeh. So that is a mitzvah, that's Nahegas L'Doris. That's probably what he meant, that we count the mitzvah of Arvus. Then the Torah tells us when we come to Eretz Yisrael, we have to have a clean country. You have to have clean spiritually and physically. You shouldn't have garbage strewn around all over the place. It's disgusting. On the soda bottles in Eretz Yisrael, it says Shmor al Nikoyon Haaretz. Please throw the empty bottle at a garbage can. Don't throw it in the street. That's part of the mitzvah in the parsha. Eretz Yisrael should be a clean country, physically and spiritually. And we should see to it, if we have control of the land, we should destroy all the avodas zaras in the land. You have to destroy all the avodas zaras. No, if the Israeli government will destroy all the avodas zaras, the United Nations will close them down. There'll be a third world war. They can't do it. But when we have the ability to, we are not sympathetic to avodas zarah. HaKadosh Baruch Hu, the Rambam writes in the Mor Nevuchim that the Chumash only uses the expression Kikel Kano Hashem, God is a jealous God. Kel Kano Hashem, with respect to avodas zarah, God does not want avodas zarah. The mitzvah of Bir Avodah Zarah applies both in Eretz Yisrael and in Chutz Lortz, but applies in Eretz Yisrael to a greater degree than in Chutz Lortz. That's how the Gemara says in Maseches Avodah Zarah. The Pasuk requires in Eretz Yisrael, Abei Ti Abdun, a Kefa Loshen, Abei Ti Abdun, Abei V'achakach Ti Abdun. Whereas you have to destroy all the Avodah Zarahs that are obvious, that are visible, and then in Eretz Yisrael, Tzorach L'Shavah Shachreya, you have to do research, you have to go look to see what other avodas zarahs there are. In Chutz La'aretz, if I know there's a totem pole somewhere that people worship, or there's an asherah tree that someone worships, not my responsibility to go burn it. If I buy that house, There was a fellow in Tinek, 2-3 years ago, he bought a house, and they told him that the tree in the front of the house was planted l'shem avodah zarah. So he had to chop down the tree and he had to burn it. Okay, he bought the house, that's his responsibility. But if he wouldn't have bought the house, we're not obligated to go sneak out in the middle of the night and chop down someone else's asherah tree. In Eretz Yisrael you are, in Eretz Yisrael. If you won't, if there's no sakanas nefashis, Pikuach Nefesh is not doicha worshipping avodah zarah, but it's doicha the din of biur avodah zarah. If you'll trigger a third world war by destroying the avodah zarah, so we don't do that mitzvah. The Torah tells we have to destroy all the avodah zarah. Then it says l'sasim kein l'shem alokeichem. You're not allowed to do that to Hakadosh Baruch Hu. Means you're not allowed to destroy asar anoited seven min amizbeach. You're not allowed to. Not allowed to destroy anything from the Beis Hamikdash. Then it says, "V'ibaratem Hashmam and Amakam Holy." You should destroy the name of the Avodah Zarah. You shouldn't call it by its proper name. You shouldn't speak seriously of Avodah Zarah. The Gemara says, "Kol Leitzanusa Sira Bar Min Leitzanusa Da Avodah Zarah." Leitzanusa means to speak in a cynical way. Not allowed to be cynical about anything except for Avodah Zarah. How can you talk with a straight face about Avodah Zarah, as if there's something significant there, as if there's a shred of emes there? So let's say nusav Avodah Zarah, to be cynical about Avodah Zarah is required. So the Torah says, v'ibaratem hashmam, we shouldn't say the name of the Avodah Zarah. You should change the name to a funny name. You should change the name. You shouldn't pronounce the shame of Avodah Zarah. Then it says, l'sasun ken l'sham l'kechem, you shouldn't destroy shame Hashem. So the Gemara talks about the Zayin Shem Shein and Imchokim. The Gemara in the end of Shavuos talks about that. If you look through Tanakh, HaKadosh Baruch Hu has seven different names that you're not allowed to erase. Kel, Elakim, Shakai, Tzvokas, and so on. Yud Kevav, Kel, Talad, Nun Yud. It's a question, which are the Zayin Shem? Is there different girsois and different opinions? You look in Yerideya, but all the Shemas are included. All the names of HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and there's an Issa, L'sas, and Ken, L'sham, L'kechim. Just like you're not allowed to destroy Evan Ben Amizbeach or something in the Beis Hamikdash, you're not allowed to erase Shem Hashem. There's a big machlokes in Rishonim whether the concept of Kedushas Beis HaKnesses exists in the Torah or it's only an invention in the Rabbanim. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses. The Navi says that before the destruction of the first Beis Hamikdash, Navi says HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to send us into Golus and he's going to destroy the Beis Hamikdash. But when we go into Golus Bavel, go Eilahem LeMikdash Me'at, I'll have a miniature Beis Hamikdash there. So the Gemara Megillah says that's a reference to all the Bati Kinesias, about the Midrashas, Shevet Bavel. All the shuls and all the yeshivas all over the world have the status of a Mikdash Me'at. So some Rishonim learned that that's a real drosha gemura deraisa. The Chayyodim quotes this from the Sefer Yireim, that a Beis HaKnesses has a kedusha deraisa. And the Ran in the end of the Ran on the Rif, in the end of Megillah, Perek Menehu Ir, thinks that it's only an asmachta midrabbanan. Kedusha is Beis HaKnesses. That's not the real pshat in the pasuk. Va'ilam lemigdash miyad. That's only an asmachta midrabbanan. So the Achreinim assume Rav Soloveitchik also thought like this. He must have seen it in Achrayim. The Achrayim assumed that the Rambam's opinion is that it's also their Isa. Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is their Isa. And they bring the Raya from the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam wrote the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic, which those of us who don't understand Arabic read in Hebrew translation. But in the Sefer HaMitzvahs, he doesn't say it either. If you look in the beginning of the Mishneh Torah, the Sefer HaMitzvahs is really the introduction to the Mishneh Torah. He tells you which are the 613 mitzvahs. And that's Talmud Torah. Talmud Torah means Olamaratam Osom, Ushmaratam Las Osom. You should learn all it. You have to learn which are the 613 mitzvahs. You have to observe them with all the details. So the Sefer HaMitzvahs is the Hagdamah to the Mishneh Torah. Then in every section in the Rambam, he tells you how many mitzvahs he's going to cover here. Like just yesterday, I was giving a shir. So I pointed out the Rambam in the beginning of Hilchas Macholos Asuras writes, there are 28 mitzvahs in Hilchas Macholos Asuras. Happens that I spoke about the 28th. 28th mitzvah is not to drink Yayin Nesach. That's an Issa Deraisa. In every section, the Rambam starts off, how many mitzvahs are going to be? then by the time you reach the end of the sefer, you've covered the whole Taryag Mitzvahs. You have the Sefer HaMitzvahs at the introduction to the Mishnah Torah, because that's what the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is. People think the Mitzvah of Talmud Torah is to ask a sharp kasha, or to give a teretz on Rabbi Kivegi's kasha. That's the icing on top of the second piece of cake that you have for dessert. That's not the Ikra of Talmud Torah. Ikra of Talmud Torah is to know Kol HaTorah, to know all the 613 mitzvahs and all the details. And then you try to understand it, okay? The Gemara says the understanding and the Derech Alimo to analyze, that was originally given to Moshe Rabbeinu, and he had a right not to tell it over to Bnei Yisrael. He had a right to hoard it for his own descendants. But he was Rosh Rabbeinu. Moshe Rabbeinu was a good-hearted fellow. He was a Tovayin. So he was Noik Tovayin. He gave it over to Bnei Yisrael also. But that wasn't the original plan was. That's not going to be given over to Bnei Yisrael. The Iker of Liman HaTer was to learn the Dinim, to learn the Kitzur Shulchanach, to know ABC, which are the 613 mitzvahs, and all the details of them. And this whole, what we learn in the yeshivas, all the pulpulim, Reb Shimon Shkapar, Baruch Ber, Abchaim, and Avtali Trup, and everything, that's all dessert. That's not the main thing. The main thing is to learn what the Dinim are. So the Rambam writes again, the Sefer HaMitzvahs in Arabic is the Hakdama to the Mishnah Torah. Years ago, they used to print it together. They used to print the Sefer HaMitzvahs together with the Mishnah Torah. Then the printers decided they want to make more money. So they printed the Sefer HaMitzvahs separately. But how can you print Sefer HaMitzvahs? It's not such a big book. So they padded it. So they printed the Ramban and the Megillah Esther and the Kina Seferim and who else? The Leif Samech. All the commentaries they have, and they sold it as a separate book. And then they sold the Rambam as a set, the Mishnah Torah. So the Talmid Chachamim couldn't afford to buy the Sefer HaMitzvah, so they only bought the Rambam. The wealthy Balabatim bought the Sefer HaMitzvah also, but it just collected dust on their bookcase. They didn't look into it. They didn't look in the Mishnah Torah either. So the Chassam Sofer complains, what a tragedy it is that the printers made it a separate book and the Talmid Chacham can't afford it. There's certain ideas in the Rambam that only appear in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. There's certain ideas only appear in the Pirush HaMishnayos. Certain ideas the Rambam has only appears in the Mor HaNevuchim. You have to look in all the Rambams together. Every so often the Oros HaMeach has a problematic Rambam. He says, look in the Pirush HaMishnayos, look in the Mor HaNevuchim, look over here. The Rambam explains, look in the Sefer HaMitzvahs. The Rambam explains himself what a sheet is. It's the same Rambam in all the Svarim. That's a Rabbi Nachum Rabinowitz, who is Malei Adumim in the yeshiva. That's what his Svarim are all about. He tries to put all the Rambams together. He usually comes up with something different from everybody else, but the idea is a very important idea. You have to look at all the Rambams to see what he's talking about. So the Rambam in the Sefer HaMitzvahs doesn't have this either. In the beginning of the Mishnah Torah, the Rambam gives you the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora in Hebrew. So in the abridged version of the Minyan HaMitzvahs, he writes, Asor l'noitet seven men ha-mizbech, l'sasek ha-shem l'kechem, mi beis ha-migdash, o mi beis ha-knesses. He writes it, that's when he's giving the Minyan HaMitzvahs B'Ktzora. In the abridged version, he puts in that Beis HaKnesses is part of the Yisr Deraisa of Los Hasen Kein L'Sham L'Kev. So that's the Rambam that Rav Soloveitchik pointed out. That's the one the Achranim pointed out. The Stechemet quotes it. Stechemet is an encyclopedia. So he quotes those Achranim who point this out, that the Rambam and the Minyan Mitzvah speak Tzara seems to agree with Reb Lezer Mitz and the Sefer Yireim that Kedushas Beis HaKnesses is a Din Deraisa. What's the difference if it's a dinder ice, a dinder abban, is a dinner kedusha's basic now, however you slice it. So the Chayodam is the first one who brought this up, that he thinks kedusha's basic nesis is the raisa, and he says, whenever there's a suffix, you should go to Chumrah. If it would have been a dinder abban, so you can say suffix the abban lakula. But since the kedusha's basic nesis is the raisa, so the mele, kovet basic nesis, and migdusha's a din of moira hamigdush, migdoshi tiro. Basic nesis, we don't call it mori, we call it Kvod Beis HaKnesses. It's the same thing, except that Mor HaMikdash means covered square. You need more. Since a Beis HaKnesses only a Mikdash Miyad, so there's less of a Chi of covered. And Beis HaMikdash is a Mikdash Tiro, there's more of a Chi of covered, so you have to be more medactic. So if there's a suffix regarding covered Beis HaKnesses, so the Chayodim says you got to go to Chumrah. So it gives a mashal. So the Chayodim, one of the Chayodim's children was married to a grandchild of the Vilna Gaon. So he says, my mechut and the Vilna Gaon, not exactly true. He wasn't That sounds much better than saying my mechutin's father. So he says, my mechutin b'eldegama, he passed away, so they were allowed to take his, the din is not allowed to take garbage into the shul. It's a bizoin besakna. Is it permissible to take a dead body into the shul? You want to deliver a hesped. So if you have no other place, if you have no other place that has enough room for all the people, so you're allowed to conduct a hesped in the shul. It's permissible to take the dead body in. The dead body is like a piece of garbage. It's not proper. So it says in the Shulchan Aruch, if the one who died is Go'on V'Aluf, a very outstanding Talmud Chacham, the Mechaber writes, then you're permitted to take the Yarmen into the Beis HaKnesset. So he writes, when my Mechutin passed away, he printed a hesped that he delivered for his Mechutin, the Vilna Gaon. My Mechutin passed away. So then it was permissible to bring the body in. But Stam, every Rabbi Tom and Dick and Harry, every Rabbi Dick and Rabbi Harry, every rabbi who dies is a Gaon V'Aluf, he thinks that's not proper. And then he says, because the Yireim holds that it's a din d'oraisa, whenever it's on Isaf, you have to go to Chumrah.
How can the Beis HaKnesset be more machmir than the Beis HaMikdash itself? And we say that in the Machane Levia, if you lost Mos Shel Yosef, you bring them through. On the Har Habayis, you can have the mace itself. So why should the Beis HaKnesset be more machmir than the Beis HaMikdash?
I guess we assume that Beis HaKnesset is more mechuvin kenegad Yazara, not mechuvin kenegad Har Habayis. I guess so. Good. That's a good point. I guess we assume it's Mechuvin Keneged Azor. The Aron Kodesh is Mechuvin Keneged the Kodesh HaKadoshim, and the rest of the shul is Mechuvin. The Ezra Snoshim, I think, the Achrenim Mishun, the Ezra Snoshim, Mechuvin Keneged, the Ezra Snoshim, and the shul corresponds to the Ezra Snoshim, Beis HaMikdash, which was only Har Habayis. But the men's section is assumed to be a higher level of Kedusha than the women's section, so that's supposed to be corresponding to the Azor, not to the Har Habayis. Good? So that's the din of Lasas and Kein Lashem Elokechem. If you have a mistake in the Sefer Torah, let's say you have a word is missing, so you're allowed to erase a couple of words, Al Menas L'Sakein. You're gonna erase a couple of words in order to squeeze in the missing word. So that's permissible. But to erase Shem Hashem in order to be Misakein the Sefer Torah, that we don't permit. Why is that so? So the Pashtus is because to erase Sefer Torah, to erase words of the Kedusha Sefer Torah, to be Mesakin the Sefer Torah, Amanas L'Sakin, is not called Vibarat HaMeshmam. That's not called Derech HaShchosa. You're not allowed to destroy Beis HaMikdash, Derech HaShchosa. What if you want to fix the Beis HaMikdash and you have to knock down some walls in order to fix it? If it's not Derech HaShchosa, then it's Mutter. Then it's not a violation of L'Sasim Kein. So to erase a Pasuk in order to erase a pasuk from the chumash in order to be misaken the hechsher of the chumash, that's al menas l'saken. That's not called derech hashchosa. The Rambam says the isa l'sasen is derech hashchosa. But the erase shem Hashem is an independent isa. What am I going to erase? Let's say there's a word missing in the pasuk. I want to erase a whole line that has shem Hashem in it. So the erase shem Hashem is already an isa, so, and the shem Hashem is written properly. Erasing shem Hashem to make a tikkun in the sefer Torah. That's not if you're erasing something in Shem Hashem, to be misakan in Shem Hashem, that's a different thing. But to be misakan in Sefer Torah, that's not right. That's what we assume. We have a tradition that the prayer Aleinu L'Shabeach that we recite in the davening was composed by Yeshua ben Nun when he destroyed the Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. That we believe in Shabbat, we believe in one God, we don't believe in Avodah Zarah. And Al-Kain Kavul Chol, we hope the day will come that all the nations of the world will recognize that there's only one God. They don't have to convert to become Jews, but they should recognize the one God in heaven above. They should stop worshipping Avodah Zarah. That's what Aleinu L'Shabbat is all about. Some Rishonim had the minig that they only said Aleinu L'Shabbat after Shachris and Ma'ariv, when we say Shema Yisrael Hashem Echad. So then you say Aleinu L'Shabbat, we're emphasizing the theme that we said in the first pasuk, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Echad. Our meaning is that we say Aleinu L'Shabbat after Mincha as well. But that's the tradition has it that Aleinu L'Shabbat was composed by Yeshua ben Nun when he completed the Bir Avodah Zarah in Eretz Yisrael. Then the parasha speaks a lot about building the mitzvah to build the Beis HaMikdash. It's repetitious. Rashi quotes from the Tanoim that originally it's talking about Mishkan Shiloh, and then it's talking about Yerushalayim. So during Mishkan Shiloh, there was a partial Bechira. Kim alamakam shiv Hashem. There was a partial Bechira, and Yerushalayim had a full Bechira. Bechira means, number one, to the exclusion of all others. Let's say we write in wedding invitations, you write Bechiras Libo. Why? Because we observe the Chem der Abbeinu Gershon. So the fellow's only going to marry one girl. She can't marry more than one husband, that's a din deraisa. But the husband can't marry more than one wife, that's a Chem der Abbeinu Gershon. So they're Becher in each other. So Bechira means that there's an Isha Shchut Echutz. There was an Isha Shchut Echutz at the time of Mishkan Shiloh and the time of Yerushalayim also. And then Yerushalayim had more of a degree of Bechira, that it was a Bechira le'olam. Mishkan Shiloh was only temporary. It was for a few hundred years. It didn't last forever. After Mishkan Shiloh was destroyed, there was a Hetabomas. But after Yerushalayim was chosen, then Yerushalayim, the Mishnah says, Ein achra heta. There's no Hetabomas after Yerushalayim. So that's why Yerushalayim has the full Bechira. Amakim Shiv Hashem is written twice. In the Parsha, the first time it was a partial Bechira, a Mishkan Shiloh, because it wasn't the Bechira Elamis. But it was a Bechira to the exclusion of all others, that there was an Iser Shchut Echutz.
According to the Ravid, who says that Paka Kedushas Mikdash, does that mean that the Bechira is separate from the Kedusha intrinsically?
The Gemara in several places says explicitly that if you hold Kedushas Mikdash, is Batla, that's a derived Toskan, that there's a Hetabamas. But we don't follow that Gemara. We assume the Rabbeinu Tam is quoted in Tosis and Megillah, Daf Yud, of all places. Should have been somewhere as Vachem and Menachas, but it isn't. It's only in Megillah, Daf Yud. Rabbeinu Tam says that even if you hold that the Kedusha Samigdush is Batla, but still ain't Achrea Hetar, there's still going to be an Isabamas, because there is Bechira. Even though there's no Kedusha, even if one should assume that loikit shalosilav, there's no kedusha smokaim, but there still is bechira. So bechira means that there's an isa bamas today. Yeah. Then the Torah says, when you're in the process of, when you build a Beis HaMikdash, l'shich nesidrishu uvas hashama. What does that mean? So the Sifrei has a comment, Rosh al Pinovi. And the Gemara says, when you're interested in building a Beis HaMikdash, you have to have, the project should be done under the auspices of a Navi. So the Gemara has a tradition that after the 7 years of Golas Bavel, when they came back to Eretz Yisrael in order to rebuild the Beis HaMikdash, so the Gimel Nevi'im Alei Bavel. Three Nevi'im came back, Chagas Chai Malachi, and each one of them gave a Nevu'ah about a different aspect of the rebuilding of the Beis HaMikdash. In principle, the Ribbono Shel Olam wanted to punish Bnei Yisrael. He didn't want to send any more Nevi'im. That's how the Gemara said. Because at the end of the 70 years, Ruba, the overwhelming majority of the Jews wanted to stay behind. They didn't want to go back to Eretz Yisrael. The Ribbono Shel Olam said he's going to punish them, and he's not going to send any more Nevi'im. The role of a Navi is to give Musa. When the people are doing Averis, he gives Tochach, he gives Musa. So you shape up. The Ribbono Shel Olam says he's going to let them burn. Going to let them do all the Averis they want, and he's not going to send anybody to give Tochacha, to give Musa. But three Nevi'im he had to send, because L'shich Nesidushu, Rosh Al Pinavi, that's the halacha. He can't build a Beis HaMikdash without authorization from a Navi. There was a Rabbi Rav Tzvi Hirsch Kalischer, who was a student of Rabbi Kiveger in Germany, and he's one of the Zionist leaders, the original Zionists in the middle 1800s. And he wrote the Sefer Drishas Tzion. It was an open letter to Rothschild that he should put up money to build the Beis HaMikdash, and we should bring Karbanos, and we can solve all the problems. You don't have to wait till Eliyahu HaNavi comes. And it may turn out that Mr. Rothschild, may turn out that you will be the Melech HaMashiach. Not some will hang your name up, that you paid for the building. It may turn out that you will be the Melech HaMashiach. Because the one who will be successful in building Beis HaMikdash, the Rambam says, may turn out to be the Bashar. So different Rabbanim reacted to his suggestion. So several of them, this is Shabbos Shuvitz Binyan Sion. the author of Dorach Laner, Rabbi Yankee Vetlinger, he was also a rabbi in Germany. So the first two tshuvas are letters that he sent to Rabbi Tzvi Hirsch Kalish about Binyan Tzion. That's why he called the whole Sefer. The rest of the book has nothing to do with rebuilding the Beis Hamikdash, only the first two tshuvas. So he says you can't build a Beis Hamikdash without a Navi. You have to have authorization from a Navi. Even if you have archaeologists and they figure out where everything is, you know everything, still you have to have authorization from a Navi. That's what it says in the Sifrei. So others claim, nah, that's a Sifrei. It's never quoted in the Gemara. Who says that we accept a Sifrei? So the others said, no. The Gemara says, Gimel Nevi'im Olei Iman Mebavel. That's the meaning of that statement. There were only three prophets, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said. The Gemara says in Yuman, the first prophet, HaKadosh Baruch Hu said, if they're not going to all show up after the Golas bubble is over, then he's going to punish the Jewish people, not going to send them any Nevi'im. The only three he sent were Chagas Chaim Malachi to enable them to build the Beis Hamikdash. So you see that the Gemara is also assuming like this, Sifrei, that Rosh Al-Pi Navi. But the Drosh Al-Pi Navi means more than that also. Not just that the building has to be under the guidance and under the auspices of Nevi'im. The Gemara understands in Zohar, Drosh Al-Pi Navi means more, that the Chatamir HaChamim have to first figure out on their own where do they think you have to build the Beis HaMikdash. And after they figure out, then they have to consult a Navi. So David HaMelech figured, and he figured wrong. David HaMelech, when he was victorious in battle, it says in Tanakh, every time he would set aside all the precious metal, the gold, the silver, and the copper, all the precious metal, and he would be magdish it for the purpose of building Beis HaMikdash. Then when it came to the punchline, he was figuring where he was going to build the Beis HaMikdash. He decided the nicest place to build in Eretz Israel is on Ein Itim, the highest location in Eretz Yisrael, higher than Yerushalayim. And then he asked the Navi, is that correct? And the Navi said, no, Drosh Al-Pi Navi. Sich and Shidrashu means first the Rabbanim have to figure out where they think you should build the Beis HaMikdash. So David HaMelech figured out Ein Itim, and then when he consulted the Navi said, you guessed wrong, you figured wrong. It shouldn't be the highest elevation. You should have a little bit lower. Bank Seifov Shachain. Not on top of the head of the shore. Bank Seifov a little lower. You should build a Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim. So that's what David did. And then he wanted to build a Beis HaMikdash. Then Avi said, you don't have permission because Dam Rab Shafachta, because David HaMelech had killed a lot of Palestinian terrorists. He killed a lot of Plishtim. It was a big mitzvah. He saved everybody. But still, the Beis HaMikdash is a Makom Shalom. And you can't have a person who killed, even though he killed B'makom Mitzvah, you can't have Hilden build a Beis HaMikdash. He said, the Navi told me you're going to have a son. His name is going to be Shlomo. He's going to be a man of peace. He's going to be peaceful during his reign. And he'll be the one to build the Beis HaMikdash. They're both levels of interpretation. Both aspects are included in this pasuk. The Shechna Siddushu, Drosh Al-Pi Navi, that the building and the construction of the Beis HaMikdash has to be done under the guidance of Nevi'im. Even if you can figure out archaeologically where every space is, you got to have a Navi, authorize it. And then also the determination of where you're going to build the Beis HaMikdash. Now we already know where, but the initial determination had to be, first the Rabbanim had to work it out on their own, and then they had to consult with the Navi. So David HaMelech worked that out on his own incorrectly. Then he must say consulted with God on Navi. They told him wrong. Has to be an Ein Itim. Can't be an Ein Itim. Should be in Yerushalayim. Yeah.
If in Bayis Sheni they consulted at the beginning, Chag Zecharia Malachi, why did they have sfeikas like by the Amma Atraxim?
I guess the Nevi'im weren't told everything. The Gemara says each one of the three Nevi'im is told one aspect. The other two weren't told what he was told. That's why they needed three. Each only had one. Each one got one aspect of the Nevu'ah, and that's all. They didn't have a Nevu'ah on everything. So that's why it's such a long arichah is about the building of the Beis HaMikdash. We assume HaMokim Mishivach Hashem Mikol Shivteichem, that you have to build the Beis HaMikdash in a location that belongs to all of the Shvatim. Where is there a location? In Eretz Yisrael, Avraham Avinu walked around the borders, so he So the Gemara understands how Rav Avinu acquired ownership of Eretz Yisrael by walking around the borders. There's one opinion in the Tanaim in the middle of Bava Basra, I think, maybe in Beis Gur, if forgot already. The part about Basra that only the Daf Yomi people learn. The yeshivas, they never learn that part. So the Gemara has a machlokes hatanaim. I think Rav Lezer is of the opinion that that Kenyan walking around the borders even applies bizman hazeh. If I want to sell you a vineyard, you walk around the borders, that constitutes a Kenyan chazok and your kainah. So we don't accept his opinion. We pass him that it was only a Kenyan chazokah as a heru ashur. The Doris, there is no such Kenyan chazokah. But Eretzor belonged to Avraham Avinu, and the Jewish people got it Yerusha years later. So then Eretzor was divided among the various Shvatim. So wherever you're going to build a Beis HaMikdash, it's not going to be Mikol Shivtechem. Eretzor was divided among the Shvatim. It's going to be in this shape or that shape. So the Gemara says, there's a Machlekes HaTanaim, a historical Machlekes. We assume historically and halachically, Yerushalayim Lenis Chalkon Shvatim. From day number one, when they were dividing Eretz Yisrael, they never divided the city of Yerushalayim. The city existed before the days of Yeshua ben Nun. The city existed in the days of the Chodesh, Malkin Tzedek Melech Shalem. Shalem is Yerushalayim. But Yerushalayim was never in Yitzchak al Shvatim. And the reason why is because that's going to be the Mokam of the Beis HaMikdash. It's going to be a Mokam Shiv Hashem, because Shivtech Mehaka Dover HaMelech. I've had the Chassam Sefer discusses in the Tshuva. Hakka Dover HaMelech have had a Havamina to build the Beis HaMikdash in Ein Itam. The whole reason why Yerushalayim was in Yitzchak al Shvatim from day number one, because they're going to build a Beis HaMikdash there. So how do they think that they're going to build it in Ein Itam? So some Sefer works on this in the Tshuva. The Pashtus perhaps is, we live in America, so we know the answer. Washington, D.C. is the capital. So what state is Washington, D.C. in? What states border on Washington? I think Delaware?
Maryland and Virginia.
Three states?
No, just Maryland and Virginia.
Maryland and Virginia. Oh, okay. But it's not in either of the states. It's the District of Columbia. It's not supposed to belong to one of the Shvatim. The capital is not supposed to belong. So in the days of Yeshua ben Nun, the Gemara says, whatever Shevet got the territory, got a land that was closer to Yerushalayim, those areas were more valuable. Those were more expensive. Whoever got stuck further away from Yerushalayim, the Gemara says, Yesh Nakum, those were less valuable because they had to travel longer to get to Yerushalayim. So the real reason why Yerushalayim was long is Chalkon Shvatim, and the real reason why those were closer, the property value was higher, was because that's where the Beis HaMikdash is going to be. Going to be early regal there. But by the time it came Dover HaMelech, apparently it was already forgotten why Yerushalayim was long is Chalkon Shvatim. So they thought because Yerushalayim was the capital. Yerushalayim was declared as the capital that they knew. Yerushalayim was supposed to be the capital that they knew from day number one. And Dover HaMelech did. Dover HaMelech was the king for 40 years. I think 7 years in Hebron and 33 years in Yerushalayim. I think it says in the Navi. So he established Yerushalayim as the capital. They knew all along, Al Pidin, Yerushalayim is going to be the capital. But Dover HaMelech didn't realize that the real reason why Salon and Tzchak al Shotem was not because of Washington, D.C. The real reason was because that's where the Makom HaMikdash has to be. It has to be a Makom Yishev HaShem Mikol Shevtechem. So this, the parsha is very much at length about the establishment of Mishkan Shiloh, Makom Yishev HaShem, and about the Beis HaMikdash in Yerushalayim, also a greater Bechira. It's a Bechira not only to the exclusion of all others, a Bechira Ilamis. So the Torah says you have to bring Lo Silchavas Lechol Bisharechem, I said, Degonach Bisharechem Bisharechem, Chorus Bekorach Bitsanech, Vachol Nadarech Hashatidar, Venid Vasech Trumas Yadecha. You can't eat Maisa Sheni on Karbanis. Wherever you don't please, you have to bring it all. Kim lefnei Hashem alkech tochlenu. You have to eat the ma'aseh sheni the kodshim kalim in Yerushalayim. It's talking about kodshim kalim, ma'aseh sheni Yerushalayim. Ma'aseh sheni kodshim have to be eaten in Yerushalayim. There's an essay and there's a lois essay. Bechal toch sham lefnei Hashem alkech ma'aseh tigon chavisurah shavitzurah is an essay, and then there's a lois essay. Lo suchal lecha b'shurah. The Gemara Makis in Perik Elohein Halokin, the third Perik. And Makis says that there's a difference between the essay and the lois essay. The lois essay of L'such Alecha B'sharecha, you're not allowed to eat Ma'aseh Sheni Chutz Yerushalayim. One only violates the lav, and you get Malkus if the Ma'aseh Sheni was brought into Yerushalayim and then you took it out. But Kozman, you didn't bring it to Yerushalayim. If you eat the Maaser Sheni Chutz LYerushalayim, before first bringing it into Yerushalayim, you're only in violation of the essay. The Gemara says, you're not in violation of the lav. That concept is called Havoas Mokon. There were three things in Halacha that require Havoas Mokon. One is Maaser Sheni in Netar Revai. The other one is Bikurim. And the third one is Bechor Behemot Torah. They need Havoas Mokon. Havoas Mokon means when you bring it to Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is completed. Kol Zman Hazchut Yerushalayim, the Kedusha is incomplete. If a person designates an animal as a Korban Pesach, or as a Korban Shlomim, a Korban Chatos, it has the full Kedusha. You can't be Makravit in New York, you can't be Makravit in the rest of Eretz Yisrael. There's an Issa Shchut Echutz, there's an Issa Koros, you have to bring it to the Beis HaMikdosh. But we don't say that bringing it to Yerushalayim completes the Kedusha. But by these three in Yonim, Maaser Sheni Netar Revai, and Bikurim, and Bechor Behemot Torah, that's Ton Havoas Mokon. Havoas Mokon means only when you bring it to Yerushalayim, then the Kedusha is completed. So if one eats a Chutz Yerushalayim before he brought it into Yerushalayim, the Gemara says he ain't a loike, he hasn't violated the law, Bishlei Musay, because the Maaser Sheni is not complete, but he's violated the essay. Then we have the institution of Bisar Taiva. Bisar Taiva means as opposed to Bisar Karbanus. Taiva means Shchitas Chulin. When we slaughter animals and we eat them, that's called Bisar Taiva, because the Pasuk says, V'amarta ochla basa kisava nafshecha lechol basa. If you have a desire to eat meat, b'chol avas nafshecha tisach, o'yacha tocha basa, gizunta hate, eat the meat if you want to. But v'savachta kasher tzivisich, you have to shecht it properly. So that's the Gemara understands when that pasuk was avachta kasher tzivisicha. Kasher tzivisicha is a reference, is an allusion to the halachas l'moshe b'sinai. So there's a lot of Torah shebal peh involved in shechita. So that's what Moshe Rabbeinu is alluding to here. You have to shecht according to the halacha. You can't just chop off the head. You can't just shoot the animal. You have to shecht properly. And the Torah says, not allowed to eat dam. The prohibition of dam is repeated many times, and the Gemara increases discussing why is it repeated many times to include all different kinds of dam. Torah says the reason why we're not allowed to eat dam, ki adam hu anefesh. That's an important phrase, ki adam hu anefesh. Tosfos is of the opinion that if you cause an animal to, the Gemara says, if you cause an animal to bleed on Shabbos and Yom Tov, one has violated some malacha. Which malacha have you violated? The Rashi says you violate Tzoveya if you make them black and moomark. So now it's not the same color that it was before, it's Tzoveya. Taisus is not happy with Rashi, so Taisus says the guy's not interested in the Tzoveya. So Taisus thinks that it's a malocha of Shochet, Netilas Neshama. But the organism is still alive, the animal is still alive. So Taisus used the expression Malikot Lakula, Malikot Lapalva. Since Ki Adam Hu Anefesh, the blood circulation keeps all the animals alive, so if you cause bleeding, cause a loss of blood, that's considered a partial Netilas Neshama. Because the blood circulation is what keeps all the animals alive. We have many, many halachas based on that assumption, that the definition of, what's the definition of life and death? When do we declare a person is dead? When do you consider the person dead? So if you're dead is when the blood stops circulating. It's very surprising that the world of medicine didn't realize that blood circulation keeps the animals alive. It's in the Chumash. We have halachas in the Gemara based on that. The world of medicine didn't realize it until very recently. Three centuries ago, they didn't know. How can it be? It's in the Chumash you have it like that. So the Rambams, there are three different shitas. What's the prohibition of bleeding? So Rashi's opinion is that it's Tovea. The Rama's opinion is that it's dosh. Like if you take olives or you take grapes and you squeeze out the juice, that's a malacha of dosh. Here also, if you squeeze out the blood from an animal, that's a malacha of dosh. And the generally accepted opinion is Tosfos Shita, because the commentaries, the Achrayim point out, the Yerushalmi says, like Tosfos, that if you cause bleeding, cause the pasuk says, ki adam hu anefesh, so that's why you cause bleeding, so you're taking away part of the life of the animal. That's called Malikot Lakula, Malikot Lapalga. It's a violation of Shochet, of Netilas Neshama. The Torah repeats again, Lo sachlana, don't eat the dam, al horas tishbechenu kamayim. What did the Torah have to tell us? Tishbechenu kamayim. Say, Lo tachlenu. What do you have to say, tishbechenu kamayim? So the Gemara says, why? That dam is one of the Zayin Mashkim that's Maksha lekabel tuma. So the reason, how do we know that? Because it says, al horas tishbechenu kamayim. The dam shanashama yotzebo, the dam that causes the animal to die, that has the din like mayim. It's hukesh lemayim. Just like yuta mayim al zera, if you rinse off a fruit or a vegetable, now it's a meat, for that matter. If you rinse off food, now it's roid to be mekabel tumah. So it's not only true if you rinse it out, chiyuta mayim al zera, water, any one of the zayim mashkim. So the Gemara has to learn that from psukim. Each and every one of the zayim mashkim has a din. So this is the mokker. Tishbechenu kamayim, just like mayim is machshel lekabel tumah, so dam is also machshel lekabel tumah. Torah warns us over and over and over again, we should be careful when we come to Eretz Yisrael. There are going to be nations there who worship Avodah Zarah in a crazy way. So the Torah says we should be careful that we shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. We shouldn't ask, Echa yabda agayim ha'em salahem v'esekein gamani, v'sasekein l'ashem alakech. We shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah. So the Gemara in Sanhedrin says that if one worships Avodah Zarah kidarka, however the followers of that religion worship their Avodah Zarah, if you worship it the way they do, then you chayv misa, even though it's a crazy way of worshiping. So there was an Avodah Zarah that was called Kulis. It was called Kelis. Kilus means praise. Lalei lekales. So they used to praise this Avodah Zarah. So when the Jewish people took over Eretz Yisrael, so they changed their name. You're not supposed to call it by its proper name. So they made fun of the Avodah Zarah. You're not allowed to speak cynically about anything except for Avodah Zarah. So we have to be cynical. So they called it Mar Kulis. The bitter Kulis, Kelis means Lagva Kelis. The real name, Tyson said, must have been Kilus. So they changed it, they called it Mar, and they called it Mar Kulis. How did they worship Mar Kulis? They used to throw stones. He used to throw stones. That shows that you're mavazir. But that's the way they worship their Avodah Zarah. So if a Jew will worship Mar Kulis by throwing a stone, he's Chayav Misa. He's doing Avodah Zarah Kedarka. Even though that's not the way we worship our God. But if you worship the Avodah Zarah like that, then there was a Baal Peor. Then they used to worship it in a very unusual way. So if a person worships Baal Peor the way the Goyim did, then you're Chayav Misa. Then the Gemara said, then the Mishnah has in Sanhedrin, Daf Samach, that if one worships Avodah Zarah, and one of the Dalar Avodah, Zibur, Kito, Nisuch, Hishtachvo, one of these Dalar Avodahs, so then you also chayv misa, even though the Goyim don't worship their Avodah Zarah like that. Let's say today in the Christian churches, they don't shet any karbonis, they don't do Zibur, Ni, Kito, Haktorah. A lot of them, they don't do Haktorah. But these Dalar Avodahs, Yechayv Misa, even if it's Shaloi Kedark. So that's how the Gemara interprets. You shouldn't ask, Eche Yavda Agai Mahem Salahayim, the Sasekein L'Hashem Alakech, you shouldn't worship Avodah Zarah Kedark. Ramban HaChumash thinks that that's an additional level of interpretation, but not Lefi Pshuto. What is the Pshuto Shal Mikra? So the Ramban thinks that the Pshuto Shal Mikra is, there's a certain rabbi in the New York area who thinks that he's Orthodox. He has smicha from a different institution. We don't have the monopoly on all the lunatics. So this guy has smicha from a different place. So he thinks he's Orthodox. So he says we have a lot of minhagim that are very stale. That's correct, and we should really weed them out. We shouldn't. Rabbi Herschel says like that. Karbonis become nifsal balina, and the more mekudesh it is, has a shorter time. Kachim kalam they have shnei yom v'laila. Kachim is nifsal yom v'laila at chatzais. It become nifsal balina in a shorter period of time. So Rabbi Hirsch also writes about that we should be careful about menhagim. Sometimes there were menhagim centuries ago that made sense centuries ago. Now it doesn't make sense. So we should. The Rabbanim should keep their eyes open in every generation and determine whether the menhagim still makes sense or not. So this Orthodox rabbi says we should look around in the Avodah Zarah and our generation should look to Islam and to Christianity and whatever other religions there are, and if they have some nice menhagim, we should introduce them into the Jewish religion. So that's exactly what the Ramban says over here. You shouldn't ask Echi Avda Gaim Esalahem Esken Gamoni Lashamayim. I want to adopt their menhagim and worship the God of the Jewish people in the same way they're going to worship their Avodah Zarah. They said that's a separate level. Sasen Kein Lashem Elokecha. You're not allowed. There's a din of Chukas Hagoyim, but the Rishonim say, based on Pesukim, based on Gemara, there are two Isurim. One Chukas Hagoyim, a guy has a haircut like the Hare Krishna loonies, or he dresses, you wear torn jeans, and you go barefoot, whatever, you do crazy things, you dress, or you speak like the collegiates, you don't say a full sentence, you talk like them, you act like them, you dress like them, you take a haircut like them. So that's one din, that's called minig shtus. If you have a minig shtus, you act like the guy, that's one isa. Then there's another isa of chukas hagoyim. You want to introduce in avodas Hashem, minhagim, that they started l'shem avodas zarah. So we're going to look around to see what nice minhagim there are and adopt them into the Jewish religion. That's a separate isa. You shouldn't ask, echi yavda goyim ha'em esalahem esekein gamani la'shamayim. That you shouldn't do. That's a separate isa of chukas hagoyim. Tosfos seems to hold like this also. Tosfos in Sanhedrin and Avodah Zarah also talks about Minig Shtus and Minig L'Avodah Zarah. And then the Rambam also quotes the psukim about Chukas Akum. He quotes a few psukim. He quotes this pasuk as going on Chukas Akum, not going on Avodah Zarah. Goes. See, apparently the Rambam understood the pasuk like the Ramban. It goes on Chukas Akum. It doesn't go on Avodah Zarah Kedarka. But the Gemara says that this that's an additional level of interpretation, but it's not really the Fipshuto Shal Mikra. That's how the Ramban has on Chumash. That's an important Ramban. We're in Shlishi now. Yeah, before Shlishi. I left that in the second Aliyah. The Pasuk says, you should eat Maaser Sheni in Yerushalayim, and you should give the Maaser Rishon to the Levi. Yisham Lecha Petavis HaLevi. You have to make sure that you give the Maaser Rishon to the Levim. So Rashi quotes when the Sifrei Kol Yamecha Alad Masecha that only in Eretz Yisrael you're mechuyev to be mechabed the Levi, and Chutz Lo'ot you're not mechuyev to. What is that referring to? So that's Rashi's quote here from the Sifrei. So some of the Mefarshim say it's referring to giving Maaser Rishon to the Levi, and Chutz Lo'ot is not din of Chumas and Maasers. The din is only in Eretz Yisrael. Magen Avraham in Hilchos Birchas Hamazon quotes this Rashi with respect to being mechabed the Levi. About being mechabed the Levi, is there a din you're supposed to be mechabed the Levi? So the Gemara says yes. When you give aliyahs, so first aliyah you give to the Kohen, second aliyah you give to the Levi, and then you give the rest to the Yisraelim. So there's an inyan to be mechabed the Levi also, but that's only if there's a Kohen. Ain sham Kohen. The Gemara says this part of the Hachavilo. You're not mechuyev to be mechabed the Levi if there's no coin available. In fact, Rashi has a pshat there. Rashi has two pshatim. And Shukhaim Sparda Chavilo, if there's no coin, it's not permissible to give the Levi the first aliyah. Because you're being mechabed the Levi with the covet that's only due to a coin. Somebody has to get the first aliyah, but don't give it to a Levi, give it to Yisrael. They say, Inshulchanah, give it to the biggest tamachof who's there. A lot of the Gaboim are not aware of this, Rashi. So a lot of the Gaboim think, whenever there's no coin, you got to give the Levi the first aliyah. So not only do you not have to give him the first aliyah, it's recommended you shouldn't, because Rashi has one interpretation of the Gemara, that it's not proper to give the Levi the first aliyah. But let's say there's no coin there to bench Mezuman. Are you mechuyev to be mechabed the Levi, that he should bench Mezuman? So the Magen Avraham quotes the Machloikis about this, and he says, from this Rashi, it might be mashma that in Eretz Yisrael, you're mechuyev to be mechabed the Levi, and in Chutz Lo'ot, you're not mechuyev to. But it does make sense. Kol yamech alav nasecha. Eretz Yisrael, atam muzer olav, but Chutz Lo'ot, you're not mechuyev. Why should it make a difference whether you live in Eretz Yisrael, you live in Chutz Lo'ot? It's a pella. So some say that they say, so quotes a Yerushalmi at the end of Hyrius. They say, Rav Soloveitchik said this, the Beis Yosef quotes it. Kol yamech alav nasecha means if he's a Levi, bizman amigdosh, who lives in Eretz Yisrael, and he goes to the Beis HaMikdash every so often to do Avodas HaLevim. So then there's a chiyuv to be mechabed him. But if he lives in Chutz Laretz, means he lives b'zman hazeh, even in Eretz Yisrael, he's not a Levi who does avodah salavim in the Beis Hamikdash. Then you're not mechuyev to be mechaber him. Doesn't mean Eretz Yisrael versus Chutz Laretz means a Levi who lives in Eretz Yisrael and who sometimes goes to the Beis Hamikdash to do avodah. Then there's a mitzvah to be mechaber him. So the Magen Avraham writes that when you have a bris, so we say if the mechaber somebody to bench mezumen who's not a kohen. So he says, "Veshus haKohanim." He has permission from the Kohanim to bench mezumah. So there are two girsos, but he said, "Veshus haKohanim halaviyim," or "Veshus haKohanim vehalaviyim." We say, "Veshus haKohanim halaviyim," because b'chof tal mekaymis nikra Kohanim levim. The Gemara points out that there are 24 places in Tanakh that the Kohanim are called Kohanim b'nei Levi. So we really are saying "Veshus haKohanim." The Kohanim happen to be levim. But if you have the girsa with of a b'shus ha-kohanim v'halaviyim, so you ask him b'shus of the kohanim separately and b'shus of the levim separately, that implies that we really should have been mechabed the levim. That's what the Magen Avraham says. That implies we really should be mechabed the levim. So that's two minhagim, whether you say b'shus ha-kohanim v'halaviyim, or you just say b'shus ha-kohanim. I remember once I was eating lunch in Shalavim, and I didn't wash, and some of the boys washed. So they wanted to make mechab and me with benching, so I said I didn't wash for bed. Some other boys has got a bench. So they had a shaila whether they should say b'shus harav. I can't bench even if I wanted. I didn't have any bread. Does it make sense to say b'shus harav if I couldn't have benched even if I wanted? So one of the boys was a Sephardi, so he says on Shabbos the Sephardim say, and the bench and Mishus Shabbos Malkasa. Shabbos HaMalka can't bench Mezuman either. So you see that the minig is, they say Mishus, at least by the Sfardim, even if the person who is Mishus here asking didn't have the option of benching. By the Ashkenazim also, when you have a bris, they say Mishus HaTor HaKdosha. Torah Hivagam Prusha. How do you end off? I forgot. So the b'shus ha-tor ha-kdosha, the Torah can't bench mezumah either. But you say b'shus ha-tor also. So maybe you should say b'shus ha-rab. Even if the rabbi didn't wash and he can't bench even if he would want to. Anyway, but this is a big discussion. Why is it? By kriyas ha-torah, the Gemara said the ferish. If there's no kohen, you're not mechiv. No one thinks there's a chiv to be mechabed the levi. And how come by benching? The Magen Avraham has the two opinions. He quotes from the Tur. Tur has a machlekes ha-rishayim. Is there a chiyuv to be mechaber a Levi? Two quotes are Yerushalmi, that Rabbi Shua ben Levi was a Levi. His father's name happened to be Levi, but he was a Levi. And he says, I never benched when there was a kohen there. And when there wasn't a kohen, I would never let Yisrael bench before me. So the Rishonim say the simple pshat is, he's supposed to be mechaber a kohen before Levi. He's supposed to be mechaber a Levi before Yisrael. So he says, if there wasn't a kohen, I would always bench. I wouldn't let a Yisrael bench mezuman if I would be there, because the mechuyev to be mechaber a Levi. So he quotes the Tur, says that's a simple pshat in Yerushalmi. Then he says the Maharam Rutmerg disagrees. Maharam Rutmerg says that he wouldn't let Yisrael bench before him, not because he's a Levi. There is no such thing. He mechuyev to be mechaber a Levi. He wouldn't let the Yisrael bench before him because he's the bigger Talmud Chacham. Because the Shulchan Levi was a big Talmud Chacham. So that's what they ask on the Maharam Rutmerg. And Levi, Rabbi Shulchan Levi, never ate in the presence of another person who was bigger than him at learning. How can it be? Anyway, it's a machlekes in the Torah. So why is it that by Kriyas HaTorah, everyone agrees that you only mechaber a Levi if he gave the coin the first aliyah. And by benching, it's a machlekes. Okay, so that's what the... what to work on there. Then the Torah has again the din, observe the mitzvahs, lo yisaisa falav la sigra mena, don't add on and don't take away. This din of Baltesa and Baltigra appeared earlier in Chumash Devarim, and there where it is written in the plural, lo sasifu v'lo sigra umi menu. Is there a difference between the singular and the plural? So they quote from the Vilna Gaon that the mitzvah of Svir Saim appears twice in the Chumash, once in Parshas Emor, and the second time in Parshas Re'eh. So in Parshas Re'eh, it's written in the singular. Shivashavuos tispaloch. It's all in the singular. And in Parshas Emor, it's written in the plural. Svatem lachem, in the plural. So the Sifro has a comment, Sifro and the Sifrei. Both the Sifro on Emor and the Sifrei over here on Parshas Re'eh have the exact same comment, that in the singular, one might have mistakenly thought that it's only a mitzvah on the Bez Nagorl, that they should count Sfiras HaEmor in order to establish Shavuos, because the purpose of Sfiras HaEmor is to establish when Shavuos is going to be, and that's the responsibility of the Bez Nagorl, to make Kiddush HaChodesh and Ibra HaShana, to know, to be Kaviyah the Luach. So Kaviyah Shavuos is also part of the Kaviyah HaLuach. So one might have thought, if it's only written in the singular, Yochel Bebezin, one would think it's only an obligation on the Bez Nagorl, because they have the obligation of Kviyas HaLuach. Tam Loimar, Svartem Lachem, and the plural should take Svir Lachalechot Beyachot. So the Vilna Gaon says that's the klal. You see from this comment of the Tanoim, both in the Sifro and the Sifrei, when you have a parsha that appears twice in the Chumash, once in the singular, once in the plural. So when it appears in the plural, it means it's a Chavis HaYochot, I call Yochot Beyachot. And in the singular means it's a chiyuv on klal Yisrael. It's a chayvus atzibu, which is fulfilled by the Bez Nagorl taking care of it. Bez Nagorl is representing all of klal Yisrael. So later Svarim write, based on what the Vilna Gaon pointed out, that here you have Bal Tosef written in the plural earlier, and here it's Bal Tosef written in the singular. So Bal Tosef written in the plural, that's l'chalecha b'yechot. You're going to put on tefillin. You're going to have a fifth parsha. You're going to put your bar mitzvah parsha in the tefillin. But you're going to have dalet minim, and you're a farmer, so you're very happy. You put a fifth min. You're a farmer, you have roses growing. So you're going to have roses also in addition to the dalet minim. So that's a din l'chol yochid v'yochid. Lo'isai sifu alav, lo'isai gru mimena l'chol yochid v'yochid. But over here it's written in the singular, so here it's a din on the bezin, that the Bezin should be careful. The Rambam says if the Bezin will proclaim that Basa B'cholav is deraisa, even on Oaf, Basa B'cholav is a din deraisa, so the Bezin HaGadol will be in violation of Bal Tosef. How did the Rambam know there's a din of Bal Tosef and the Bezin HaGadol? They're not doing the mitzvah B'Hisofa. They're claiming, they're misrepresenting as if it's a din deraisa. So that's what they quote. They say, based on what the Vilna Gaon said about the singular and the plural. So it says Lo Sasifu Velo Sigru'u, that's L'chol Yochid V'Yochid, that's the din of Bal Tigra Bal Tosef for the Yechidim. And this, in the singular, this is a din for Bal Tosef for the Bezin. The Rambam writes like that. The Rambam says if the Bezin HaGadol will say that B'sarot B'cholov, B'sar Chayot B'cholov is a din deraisa, then there'll be a violation of Bal Tosef. So the Rambam asks, If they say it's a din de rabbanon, then they're authorized. They have the Torah authorized them to make a gzera de rabbanon. Ushmartam es mishmarti asu mishmaris la mishmarti. That's the concluding passage in Parshas Achrayimos. Ushmartam es mishmarti. The Gemara Yevam says on Daf Chaf Aleph that the Bezdin is instructed by the Torah, say siog la Torah, to make archokas. But if they're going to misrepresent it and say that it's a din de raisa, then they're a violation of Bal Tigra. So the Rambam holds, if they lie and they misrepresent, it's an avera of Bal Tosef. Then the Ravid is masking on the Rambam. He doesn't see what's wrong with lying. Achleik is the Rambam and the Ravid. Is there an avera if you're allowed to lie or not? The Ravid says, what do you mean? The Chazal always misrepresented. They always made up a din de rabban, they made an asmachta, and they misled the people into believing that that's what the Pasuk says. So you see that there's nothing wrong with lying and misrepresenting. So that's machlekes, the Rambam and the Rambam, whether it's an avera to lie, to misrepresent the din, that they're very strange. So Rav Soloveitchik said that his grandfather Rav Chaim learned that it's a different machlekes, that there's an avera to lie, that's a different thing. No, it's not proper to lie. But the Rambam meant a different thing, that you're not allowed to be machmir on a din de rabbanu to the same extent as a din deraisa. If you're going to pass on a din derabbanan with the same chaymer adin, as if it's a din deraisa, that's bal tosef. You always have to have kulas in the din derabbanan, that it should be a dead giveaway that it's only derabbanan. So what kulas do you have in basa b'cholov? So the Mishnah has, The basa b'chol of the rice is also b'bishul, also b'achila, also b'hanoa. Basa b'chol the rabban is only also b'achila. It's muta b'bishul and muta b'hanoa. So if the Bez Nagadol will say that Besar Oit Pecholov is the rice and it's also the Bishol and also Banoah, then there'll be Machmer and Adin the Rabbanah to the same extent as Adin the rice, and then there'll be in violation of Baltasin. And the Ravid thinks that when they make an Asmachta, that means that they are permitted to be Machmer. The Ravid probably also agrees with the Rambam. You shouldn't be Machmer. Such a raven on the bottom of the Rif, on the bottom of the page in the Rif, in the first Perek in Brochus, in one of the early Dafim, he writes that you're not allowed to be Machman at the Rabbonim to the same extent as at the Raisa. But he says, whenever they have an Asmachta, so that's the Mashmos of the Pasuk is, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wanted the Rabbonim to come up with this Chumrah. So if it'll be Machman to the same extent on the Din, the Rabbonim like at the Raisa, whenever there's an asmachta, then they write it home that it's mutter. But it's not a machlek, it's probably not a machlek, if you're a lot of fooling people into believing that it's a derais. Probably everybody agrees, you're not a lot of fooling people, not a lot of tell a lie. Then the Torah has a din of Novi HaSheker, and Novi HaSheker is Chayiv Misa. So how do you know the Novi HaSheker predicts something, and to the best of our knowledge, there's no way with all the science in the world that he could figure that out. Yeah, today they can predict an eclipse centuries in advance. If you know the physics, you know mathematics and physics, you can figure out when an eclipse is going to happen. Years ago, most of the people wouldn't know, wouldn't be able to figure out when an eclipse is going to happen. So the Novi, the fellow claims that he's a Novi, and he brings an awesome office, predicts the future on different things, and then he tells the people that that shows that he's a Novi, and therefore, he was told to Hirasha, everybody should smoke a cigar this Shabbos. So he would listen to him. If he tells you about the Zara, even though Hirasha, we know he's a Novi HaSheker, or if he tells you, Rabbi Shalom changed the laws, now he told me, now it's mutter to smoke on Shabbos. There's no prohibition of smoking on Shabbos. So if he's changing a din l'dayros, or he wants to allow Avod Zara, even l'shoah, then you know that he's a Novi HaSheker. But if he's a Novi, just wants to change Shara Veris, l'Hirasha, then you do listen to him, then you are mechayiv to listen to the Navi. Then the Torah has a din of maces. Usually there is a din yad ha'edim tiyah bo berishonah. There are three exceptions to the rule, but there is no din of yad ha'edim tiyah bo berishonah. So one of them is the maces. The din is yotcha tiyah bo berishonah. The musas. The musas has to be the first one to try to give him the death penalty. Second exception to the rule is Retzach. By Retzach, there's no din also. There's no din of Yad Eidim Tiba Rishayna. The din is that the Goel Adam has a mitzvah to kill him. There's a problematic Rashi in the Sanhedrin, Masech Sanhedrin, which the Ramban in the Sefer HaMitzvahs picked up. He doesn't say it's Rashi out of respect, but he says, one of the Mefarshim says there. So Rashi says on the Gemara, when the Gemara talks about the Goel Adam, Rashi said, yeah, Goel Adam, if he killed Bishogig, there's a din of Goel Adam. So Rabban said, what are you talking about? There's a din of Goel Adam b'mezid, black and white. Says the Chumash, when they ascertain that a person is a Retzach b'mezid, so the Goel Adam has the mitzvah to kill him. There's no din of Yad Eidim Tiya Barishon. And the third exception, the first exception to the rule is Mesis, Yotcha Tiya Barishon. Second exception to the rule is the Goel Adam by Retzach. And the third exception to the rule is Sharan Iskal. The Gemara says the mitzvah on the Bala Shor to kill the Shor. When Bezna makes a Gemara Din, there's no Din of Yad HaEdim, it's a mitzvah on the Bala Shor. And someone else hears the Gemara Din of the Bezna, he runs and he kills my Shor, he cheated me from performing the mitzvah, he has to pay me Asar Zehuvim. That's the Gemara in Bava Kamma, the upside of the base. So those are the three exceptions to the rule, but there's no Din of Yad Eidim Tiyah Barishayna. Yeah, here by Mesis there's a Psanu Din. The Gemara says the last pasuk in that parsha says Chol Yisrael Yishmi V'Yiraun V'Lo Yosif Al Ases Kadoba Hara Zadir Kirbecha. How are you going to have Chol Yisrael Yishmi V'Yiraun? How can you do that? You give a person the death penalty because he's a Mesis. How's everybody going to know? So the Gemara says it's a din of hachrozah, arba tzirchem hachrozah. There are four balei avera who get the death penalty, and you have to do hachrozah. Hachrozah means you wait till regal, you wait till shalosh regalim, and everybody's going to be early regal. Today we have newspapers, you have television, you have email. So maybe today, if we'll have Bez Nagadol, they'll notify everyone of what happened. They'll write it up in all the newspapers. Years ago, the only way to do achrazah was to wait till regel, wait till Sholosh Regalim, and everybody's going to come to Be'er Regel to Yerushalayim. And then you give them the death penalty, and everybody will hear. So the one of the Abot Sichem achrazah is the Mesis. Who are the other three? Edim Zemimim is one. Zalka Mamre is one, I think.
Ben Sarah Mara.
They want the death to serve as a deterrent. Hanisham Yishmer Yiro, they want the death penalty to serve as a deterrent for the other people. Usually in Avera, you get Dainish Misa because you deserve that punishment because you did the Avera. And here, apparently, Dainish Misa is to serve as a deterrent. So that's why you need Achraza. Then you have the Din Avera Nidachas. If you have a city in Eretz Yisrael where the Roiv Toshvei Ha'ir worshipped Avodah Zarah, there's a story in Sefer Yoshua that when Yoshua ben Nun finished the Sheva Shekopshu, after the wars were over, so Reuven Agod Nechatzu Shevet HaManasseh went back home to the Eber HaYarde. So then it says in the Novi that they built a big Mizbeach to remember that they relate or they're aligned with all the other Shvatim in Eretz Yisrael, that they weren't bringing any kabbalah, they weren't doing shchutei chutz. They built a mizbeach to remind them that they really belong in Eretz Yisrael, they're part of the Jewish people. So somehow the word came to Yeshua ben Nun incorrectly that they're violating shchutei chutz. So Yeshua ben Nun says, we're going to send two Rabbanim to give them tochacha. You shouldn't violate Shchut Echutz. And if it turns out that that is the fact, it turned out it wasn't true. But if it turns out that that's the fact, then the people won't listen to the two Rabbanim who give tochacha, then we're going to put together an army and we're going to give everybody the death penalty. Maze, you get the death penalty for Shchut Echutz? Never heard of that. So the Yosemech points out on the Rambam. The Rambam writes, the dinim of Yenei Dachas in Hilchas Avodah Zarah. So the Rambam writes, the Bez Nagadol, when they hear that there's a city where Rav here violated Avodah Zarah, they send two Rabbanim to give Tochacha to the city. And then the Rambam says, if they do Tshuva Mutov, good. If they don't do Tshuva, then Bez Nagadol makes a whole case out of it. And then Tzar Malem LaMuchami put together an army, and you wipe out the whole city. So the Mefarshim asked, the Ravid asked on the Rambam, Tov HaTov HaShetoel HaTshuva. It's a nice idea, the Tshuva Shalom, but there is no such thing in Halacha. The person did an Avera, so he gets a death penalty, even if he did Tshuva. But if the Rambam right here, the Anshei Erei Dachas, if they do Tshuva Mutov, there is no such thing, if you do Tshuva Mutov. A nice thing to do Tshuva, but it's still Chayiv Misa. So the Yorsameh, so the, that's Pella number one on the Rambam. So the Rav Soloveitchik said that his father Shepshat in the Rambam, the Ragat Shove has this in his safe on the Rambam in the Tzofnus Panech. So Rav Moshe Soloveitchik said, it does mean if they do tshuva, they're off the hook and they don't give them the death penalty. They don't have a din of Irani Dachas. Irani Dachas, normally if a person worships Avodah Zarah, so he gets skila, a mamayna polat, you don't destroy his property. If it's in Irani Dachas, instead of skila, you give them saif, the Ficharev, you burn down the houses and destroy all the property. So he said, the Rambam says, if they do tshuva mutav, mutav doesn't mean they're off the hook. Mutav means we'll treat them as yechidim. We won't treat them as an irani dachas. We'll give them skila. That's mutav. We'll give them skila, yechidim, it'll be mamayinam polat, but it won't be saif, it won't be mamayinam ovat. And where did the Rambam get the idea that he sent two shluchim? So the Yosemech writes, I'm Mar Nebuchim. The Rambam writes in the Mar Nebuchim that story, Yeshua ben Nun, thought that they were doing Shchut Echutz. And he said, we're going to send two Rabbanim, give them Tochacha, and if they do, we're going to give them the death penalty. The Rambam has a Chiddush in the Mar Nebuchim. He thinks that the din of Irnei Dach is not restricted only to the case where the Reufel here worshipped Avodah Zarah. Even if the Reufel here just violated Shchut Echutz, if they violated any Avera, if they violate, if they eat chazer, right here eats treifus. Also, din over here in Idachas, and you give them all the death penalty and burn down the whole city. And that's where the Rambam, and you see that the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah still holds from what he wrote in the Mar Nebuchim, because that's where he got this whole program. He sent two shluchim. Where does he send two shluchim? The Gemara never says that. He's quoting from the Pesukim in Sefer Yeshua. And then he said, if they do tshuva, mutav is also. The Gemara doesn't really say that. He got it all from Sefer Yeshua. And in fact, the Melitza, that the Rambam says, Tzor Malem La Melchama. If they don't do tshuva, then the Bez Nagadol puts together an army and we wipe out the whole city. That expression comes from Sefer Yeshua. Tzor Malem La Melchama. So you see that the Rambam and the Mishnah Torah still holds from the Pshat that he wrote in the Mor Nebuchim.
The Rambam know it was not a Horaisha.
Pardon me?
The Rambam know it was not a Horaisha.
I don't know. That's a Peladik Rambam, a very big Kiddush. How do you know it's not a Horaisha? I don't know. That is a very good question. Anyway, that's the din of Yoni Dachas. Wow. Then the Torah gives the laws of kashrus, which animals are kosher, which are not kosher. Has to be malagerim afis parsa, which fish are kosher, which fish are not kosher. Has to have snapi v'kaskesas. Sturgeon was a big machlekes. Sturgeon has snapi v'kaskesas, but the Ramban al Torah writes a chiddush, doesn't say anywhere else. Ramban writes the kaskesas has to only be attached on one side. So if you take your mother buys fish in the store, when she takes a knife, she can scrape off all the scales by pulling in one direction. The sturgeon has kaskesa that's attached on both ends. So you can't scrape them off. You have to pry them off. Rabban has a chiddush that that's not called the scimitar. So the question is, does everybody agree with the Ramban? The Magen Mishnah, the Rambam quotes the Ramban. Okay, Magen Mishnah thinks that we should accept it. Not everyone accepts it. So there were gedolim who thought that the sturgeon was kosher. But the beginning of the Reform movement, the beginning of Reform movement, everything, they were really orthodox. But they did a little shtick. So one of the shtick was that they said sturgeon is kosher. That was a big Reform movement. They wanted to eat sturgeon. So they said, we don't pass like the Ramban. So that was a big pirtza. Then the Torah lists off which birds are not kosher. All the other birds are kosher except for these birds. Pesukim and Chumash never tell you how to identify whether a bird is kosher or not. It just tells you the list of the non-kosher birds. The Mishnah Elatrefus, Mishnah Chulin, the end of Perek Elatrefus, tells you the simanim, how to identify whether any given bird is kosher or a treif. So the Gemara there tells a story that the Amoraim who lived in Bavel came upon a new bird that they never heard of before. And it corresponded, they thought that it corresponded to all the simanim that appear in the Mishnah, so they decided it's a kosher bird, so they would sheft it and eat it. And after eating it for a while, they came to the realization that they misjudged, and it's really not a kosher bird. It's an oif tamei shchita, doesn't help. So Rashi has a comment on the Gemara. Rashi usually, on the Gemara, usually doesn't say halacha l'maaseh. Here Rashi says, so we should be careful today, if the holy Amoraim made a mistake and they were eating a non-kosher bird, they fell in, so we can certainly fall in. So it's a good idea, you shouldn't eat any bird unless you have a tradition that this is a kosher bird. That's what Rashi writes. So when Columbus came back to Spain and he brought the turkey back, so they never had a tradition on the turkey. But the turkey has all the same money tire, like it says in the Mishnayos. So the Jews who lived in Spain were Sephardim. So the Sephardim don't have that chumrah. The Mechaba doesn't quote that Chumah. The Ramo quotes it from the Isidahata. Isidahata is by an Ashkenazi. On the first page, in the title page of the Sefer Isidahata, so it says it's written by Rabbeinu Yoina Girondi. That's not true. There was a Rabbeinu Yoina who was an Ashkenazi. It's not written by Rabbeinu Yoina. Girondi is in Spain. Rabbeinu Yoina was a Mechutin, a real Mechutin of the Ramban, not a fake. Rabbeinu Yoina and Ramban, their children married each other. They were the same generation, but they were Sephardim. This Rabbeinu Yoina, in this of the Heta Ha'orach, a little safer, he never quotes any Sephardim at all. Only quotes Rashi Taisus, quotes Balei HaTaisus that we never heard of, but he never quotes any Sephardim. So the Ramah quotes on the Issa v'Heter. The Ramah always quotes the Issa v'Heter. Every page in Yerbedeh. Ramah quotes on the Issa v'Heter. This Chumrah of Rashi, that you shouldn't eat any bird. Unless you have a tradition. But the Sfaradim don't have that practice. So the Sfaradim in Spain started eating turkey because it has all this immunitar according to the Mishnah. And then, 50 years later, the Ashkenazim were visiting in Spain. So, the Jews in Spain are eating the turkey. Must have had a tradition from centuries ago, from the days of Moshe Rabbeinu, that the turkey, they never had any tradition. They never saw turkeys before. So it's, so the Jews, so the Ashkenazim started eating turkey also. So it's not really right. More correct is that that Ashkenazim shouldn't eat turkey because we have no tradition on it. Rabbi David Horowitz, who's a Rebbe in Yeshiva, I think he's on loan now. He's giving shiurim on the east side somewhere, but he's basically a Rebbe in Yeshiva. So he's a descendant from the Shaloh. He's a Levi. Shaloh's family name was Horowitz, and he was a Levi. So he says that the Shaloh didn't eat turkey. It says in Yeridei, they quote, Shaloh didn't eat turkey because it's Dom Asura. He says he has cousins. Rabbi Horowitz has cousins. They won't eat turkey. They'll eat chazer on Yom Kippur, but they don't know why. They don't eat turkey. That's the meaning of the family. They don't eat turkey. Follow the family traditions, yeah. So that's really an issue. Then there's a Shachin Yerideus writes that Chela Babachaya is Mutter. Chela Babachaya has an Issa Kores, the exact same fatty parts, the parallel parts in Achaya, you're allowed to eat. So how do you decide whether any given animal is a Behem or a Achaya? So the Gemara tells you it depends on the shape of the horns. So you got to know what the ones are supposed to look like and what they're not supposed to look like. So it's not so easy. So there, Shach writes, it's a little complicated. So best is, you shouldn't eat any chelim unless you have a masora, that this animal is a chaya. If you don't have a masora, you shouldn't paskan on your own that it's a chaya. You should refrain from eating the chelim of the chaya. So the Chochmas Sodom, the Chayodom, the Shach lived in Vilna. And he says, that's the meaning in Vilna. Shach lived in the Vilna till the Chmelnitsky Rites. Then he had a run for his life. When was the Rites? Was 1648, Tach B'Tat, 1648-49. They were killing everybody. So everybody ran away from Vilna. When you go touring in Vilna, they always tell you where the Vilna Gaon lived, where the Vilna Gaon davened and something. They never talk about the Shach. So I remember the first time that I was touring in Vilna, I asked the tour guide, where did the Shach live? So she said, the Shach was not a rabbi. He taught secular studies. Good morning. So I told her that the rabbis today who write tshuvas, halacha l'maaseh, they quote the Shach much more often than they quote the Vilna Gaon. Shach is printed on the page. Shach always has what to say. So the Chayei Odom lived in Vilna also, a few centuries after. Shach lived in the 1600s of Vilna. The Chayodim lived in the late 1700s. So, same time as the Vilna Gaon. So, the Chayodim claims that the minig of the Shach was, the simple reading of the Shach is, you don't eat the chelav of a chaya unless you have a tradition that it's a chaya. You don't determine on your own that it's a chaya as opposed to a behem. So, the Chochmas Odom quotes the Shach as saying, the minig in Vilna is, you don't shecht any animal, behema or chaya, unless you have a tradition that it's a kosher animal. In other words, you don't rely on yourself to determine that it's malagir, maf is parsa. Just like we don't rely on ourselves to determine that the bird is kosher, even though it corresponds to the simonim in the Mishnah, you don't rely on your own determination to establish that the animal has malagir, maf is parsa. It happens that the world of, what do you call the experts on animals? What's that called? I forgot what the name is. Zoologist. They're called zoologists, something like that. Some kind of word, yeah. So that there was a certain animal in the African jungles that they thought for over 100 years, all the world's Goisha experts, they thought that the animal was Malagera. And then they came to, over 100 years later, they came to the realization that it's not Malagera, it's just chewing things. That's not called Malagera, chewing. Malagera means that it chews up the food, goes down to the stomach, gets digested, it comes back up, then it goes back down, it comes back up. That's Malagera. In Yiddish, you say a person is chewing gum all the time, you call him a Malagera. But that's, strictly speaking, that's not called Malagera, because the person has something in his mouth all the time. That's not a Malagera. So it's possible to make a mistake. The whole world of zoology was fooled. They made a mistake about this animal in the African jungles. They thought it was Malagir, it wasn't. So the Chacham Sodom writes like that, that the minig in Vilna is that you don't shecht any animal unless you have a masur, that it's a kosher animal, because you may be making a mistake. It doesn't really say that in the Shach, but he says that's the minig in Vilna. So that's in the early years after HaKamas HaMedina, the Chazon Ish was still alive, and Rabbi Herzog was the chief rabbi at that time. So they want to introduce the zibu into Eretz Yisrael. The zibu is an animal that they have in India, and it's around in Argentina. And it looks like a cow, but it has a hump on the back. It looks a little bit like a camel, a little bit like a camel. But it has malagir, mafis parsa, it's kosher. And it gives off milk, tastes almost as good as cow's milk, and it doesn't have to drink so much water. So that's what they needed in Eretz Yisrael, because it's a very warm climate. So if you're going to have cows, it's going to be very difficult. You have to keep on giving them water to drink, because the climate is so warm. So they wanted to introduce the zebu, because it gives off milk that almost as good as cow's milk, and it's a kosher animal. So the Chazon Ish corresponded with Rav Herzog. They printed the whole correspondence that they shouldn't do it because he's from Lithuania, and the Litvaks all follow the Chayodim like the Bible. Whatever he says, they follow. And the Litvaks won't be able to eat the zebu flesh because there's no masorah on the zebu. We don't have a masorah. So Rabbi Herzog wrote, but the Jews, the religious Jews who come from India, say they used to shecht it in India. So there is a tradition that it's kosher. So the Chazon Ish responded back, a tradition has to be that there were prominent rabbis who approved it. And in India, they themselves say they never had any prominent rabbis, they had religious balabat. So Rabbi Herzog agreed. So for many years, they didn't have zibu in Eretz Yisrael. But then over the years, people were experimenting. You're not allowed to do this. Even non-Jews are not allowed to do it. They're not allowed to breed different animals together. But they were breeding them, I don't know, Jews, non-Jews, people were violating this, and they were breeding cows and zebu till they came to the realization that if it's 3/8 one and 5/8 the other one, I forgot which way, that has the best of both worlds, and the milk tastes just like cow's milk, and it doesn't have to drink so much water. How did they find that out? Because they were breeding them together. So the Gemara says a kosher animal cannot breed together with a non-kosher animal. They can't have any vladas. So if they were breeding them together, obviously they can have vladas. If they have a vlad that's 3/8 one and 5/8 the other one, so they're moilit. So if we have a tradition that the cow is kosher, it's a tradition that the cow carries over to the zebu. That they realize years later. In the days of the Chazon Ish, they hadn't done these experimentations against the din to breed animals. So, later on, they realized that it is a kosher, that we have a masor on the cow, so the masor carries over on the zebu. So I remember it was just about 15, 20 years ago, I was in the OU office on Friday, and they said, a whole scandal in Eretz Yisrael. Everybody prepared their flesh for Shabbos and their cholent, and the Rabbanim and Nebrach said they're not allowed to eat it because they realized that the butcher was selling zebu meat, that in Argentina, they used to do a lot of the shechit in Argentina, I don't know if they still do, and they would import the meat to Eretz Yisrael. So there was a whole scandal that they sold them zebu meat in the store, and the Chazon Ish said, you shouldn't eat the zebu. So they told all about them, they shouldn't eat the cholent that they put away. So I remember that Shabbos, I happened to have a guest, there were two Rabbanim in the neighborhood, so they ate by me on Shabbos in the daytime. One of them is not the Rosh Yeshiva, America's Harav. Avram Shapira's son. His father was still alive. And, he was the son of the Rosh Yeshiva. So he said he thinks it's going to blow over. So the whole issue blew over in less than a week because they came to the realization that they can breed together. So obviously the masor and the cows carries over to the zebu. And then they pointed out that they were using the hide from the zebu for everybody's tefillin and mezuzah. So if you're going to say you can't eat the zebu, all the tefillin and mezuzah will be puzzled. So they realized, finished, the whole story about the zebu ended. But in the beginning, in the early days, after Hakamas HaMedina, it was a big issue. You look in the biographies of the Chazon Ish, it's a whole chapter about the Zibu, with the correspondence back and forth between Rav Herzog and the Chazon Ish. Okay, I'm going away for Shabbos out of town. I'm not going to be back on Sunday. So I'll try to do Monday, Shlumin. Monday we'll have the normal shiur. Okay, but Sunday I won't be here. Shalom Aleichem.
Shalom Aleichem.
Welcome back.
Only for a day.